Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I was discussing Hadith number 16 in the last lesson. I did say that because of the brevity of my commentary on that day, because of my ill health, I would repeat the last Hadith. So Hadith number 16. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi inserts this Hadith under the chapter heading Babu Halawat al-Iman, chapter on the sweetness of Iman. وعنه رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال It is related from Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as he said ثلاث من كنا فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان Three things which if found in a person he shall taste the sweetness of Iman One أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما That Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to him than everything else. Two, وَإِن يُحِبُّ الْمَرْءَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ That he loves a man, he does not love him but for the sake of Allah. Number three, وَإِن يَكْرَهَ أَن يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَن يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ That he dislikes returning to disbelief just as he dislikes being flung into the fire. These three characteristics, which collectively, if found in a person, will result in him tasting the halawa, the sweetness of Iman. And the sweetness of Iman can be understood in many different ways. One, he will actually enjoy and relish sacrificing things, time, wealth, other things that are beloved and dear to him, even his life, ultimately, in the way of Allah. These things he will not dislike or fear. In fact, all of these things will be a pleasure to him. And others may not understand it, because religion is a very spiritual thing, and only that person can truly understand religion, live it and practice it, and experience that spirituality, that spiritual bond and love with Allah, which results in him behaving, living and acting in such a way that he seems to enjoy things where others see nothing but discomfort. He experiences pleasure where others see pain. And that can only come from true spirituality, from true Iman and a true bond and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands of us that we submit to Him, it's not just submission with our lives, with our thoughts, with our wealth, with our property, but it's also submission in emotion and in thought. So that not only do we dress as Muslims, not only do we eat as Allah has instructed us, not only do we behave as Allah has instructed us, we even think and feel as Allah wants us to think and feel. And therefore, Allah has given us a particular understanding of the world. And that understanding, if it's not shared by others, they will see religion in a very distorted way. So they can't understand why a person would be willing to sacrifice his wealth, his time, everything which others hold dear and precious, even his life, for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others who only see the life of the dunya cannot understand why a person would forego and sacrifice the simple everyday pleasures of the dunya. He doesn't eat whatever's presented to him. He will not sin and live a promiscuous life as others do. He will dress not according to the weather, not according to the custom, trend and fashion, but only according to what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have instructed him to. You see, this is that understanding of religion. And what's mentioned here, the sweetness of Iman, is even beyond that. Allah says in a verse of the Quran, وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا. Allah speaks about those people whom Allah has blinded to His truths, His portents and signs in His creation. Those who are arrogant, Allah says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, I shall soon turn away from those who are arrogant upon the earth without right, my signs. So I shall turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. Even if they see every sign, they will never believe. And if they see the way of righteousness, they will not take it. And if they see the way of deviation, they will adopt it. So the thinking, the perception, their sight, their understanding, all of these things become warped, twisted, reversed. Because that's the sickness of the mind. And when the heart is sick, and this can happen to a believer also, his mind may not be sick, but his heart may be sick. In the sense that he is performing salah, but he treats it as a burden. He is expected to stand in the way of Allah. And because he is rich, he does it. He does it. He obeys a commandment, but he does it dismissively, because it's not even as much as a pinch to him. But if he in any way is coerced, compelled, or pressure is brought to bear upon him, and for whatever reason he then ends up not only giving zakah but spending much more of his wealth, a great portion, he does so reluctantly, with doubts in his heart and with some reservation, and he doesn't feel good about it. If he is called upon to sacrifice his time, he considers it a burden. To him, fasting, ibadah, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hours on end, not just in farad but in nafal, all of these things become a burden because of the sickness in the heart. There's no sickness in the mind, as a result of which he considers these things to be good and obligatory, but he can't motivate himself to do them. And when he does so reluctantly. That's because of the sickness of the heart. But when a person truly loves Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as has been mentioned in this hadith, number one, when he loves another only for the sake of Allah, not for any personal or material gain, and when he dislikes, and when he fears, disbelief in Allah, kufr in any form, as much as he dislikes, fears, and abhors the thought of being flung into the fire to be burnt, when kufr becomes so frightening to him, as much as the fire, when these three qualities combine in a believer, then he will not be sick of heart, but he will be a believer of heart in such a way that where others see pain, he will see pleasure. To him, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forsaking his sleep, forgoing the company of his wife, and standing before Allah azza wa jal all night long, for him is not an exercise of discomfort. For him it's not inflicting self-inflicting punishment. For him it's not pain or torment or torture. Rather, he will be in such heights of spiritual ecstasy that no one else can understand. For him all of it is a pleasure. For him shedding blood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being injured in the way of Allah. For him the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tolerating pain, discomfort, all for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of these things are not a discomfort. They are not a pain or torment. Rather, they are a pleasure. And indeed, physically, mentally, and even spiritually, they taste the sweetness of Iman in their hearts. For them, just as people who are sick, when they listen to music, the voice of Shaytan, they respond. They are awakened. They sway to and fro. They dance. And they dance in such a way that one can't understand. That if a normal person was to go through the moves that this person does in a normal state, they would be flat out because of exhaustion and fatigue in 5 minutes. Yet these people, without any food, just drink and a few tablets, and a night long rave of music, they are able to dance for 7 hours without fatigue, without exhaustion, without dropping. Where does that strength come from? Where does that strength come from? It comes from their love of Shaytan and Shaytan's ability to move them, to motivate them, to arouse them with his voice. Why isn't it that the believer can stand 6 hours before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those who do, they do. Not because of pain or torment, but for them they experience a different kind of ecstasy. Theirs is the halawa, the sweetness of Iman. And this can be explained in many different ways. I'll just suffice with these few examples. So, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam speaks of three things. If a person can instill and inculcate these qualities in him, inshallah he will reach a stage whereby he will truly taste the sweetness and the halawa of Iman in his heart. And they are loving Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anything else. I stress the words mimma siwahuma, that besides everything else, not everyone else. So whether the thing is alive or not, whether it's a human being, whether it's something which isn't alive, whether it's tangible or abstract, physical or anything else, whether it's an ideology, a way of life, a religion, a custom, fashion, trend, whether it's people, whether it's friends, whether it's families, whether it's one's children or one's parents, or ultimately whether it's one's nafs, in all of these cases, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to Him than anybody and everything else. It's first quality. The second characteristic, the person loves a man who loves him only for the sake of Allah. He doesn't befriend someone because he feels that he can win something, he can gain something, personal, worldly, physical or material. He doesn't befriend someone simply with the hope of associating with them and enjoying company and friendship. If he loves another person, he loves them only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the test of that love for another only for the sake of Allah is with the following formula. If he doesn't respond, and in fact if the other person remains indifferent and does not reciprocate that love, or if the other person does not pay back any favours, nor does he show any gratitude, then his love for him does not suffer at all, because his love is only for the sake of Allah, and it's not for personal gain. And if the other person does return the favours, he does reciprocate that love, he in fact befriends him himself and confers favours upon him, showers him with favours, friendship, company, then this person's love for him doesn't increase because of these material things, for the simple reason that his love is not judged or marked, is not increased or reduced because of material things or lack of them, but it's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a true test. And the third thing is that a person dislikes the thought of disbelieving in any way as much as he dislikes the thought of being burnt in the fire. And in another narration of this same hadith, the words are slightly different, in that to him, being flung into the fire is just like disbelieving, or disbelieving is just like being flung into the fire. And yet in another narration, being flung into the fire is more beloved to him than disbelieving. I.e., if a man is given a choice between disbelief or death, he will choose death over disbelief. And nothing will avert him from that. No gain of the dunya, no wealth, no position. Just as once Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam was seated in the shadow of the Kaaba in Mecca in the early days of Islam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were being persecuted, they were being tortured. Some of them had already been martyred, and others were in captivity. And a group of them, including Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu anhu, approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, will you not pray to Allah for us? Will you not seek Allah's assistance for us? And remember, these were a people who were being punished, tortured, chained, hounded for their beliefs. And the kind of torture wasn't just simple imprisonment. In the heat of Makkah, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be made to lie on the hot burning sand. And then a boulder would be placed on his chest, crushing him. And the mushrikeen would stand around, jeering at him, laughing, mocking him. And under that pressure, under that torture, he would be told, renounce your faith, and you will be spared this torture, and you will also be freed from slavery. But this does not deter Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu from proclaiming Ahad, Ahad, Allah is the only one, Allah is the only one. Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw his own mother and father both killed mercilessly and martyred before him. Yet that did not deter him from remaining a believer, yes, under duress, because of his torture. He told the torturers and his tormentors that I disbelieve and I renounce the faith of Islam. Then he came and wept before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, Ya Rasulullah, I remain a believer, but the torture was too much for me to bear. And merely to escape from the punishment, merely to save my life, only to mislead them, I said to them that I don't believe. Yet, Ya Rasulullah, I remain a firm believer at heart, and I am ashamed of what I have done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of the Quran. مَنْ كَفْرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهِ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who disbelieve after believing, except those who have been compelled, and yet their hearts remain content with Iman. Only those who openly declare kufr, then upon such people shall rain down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for them is a great punishment. This, it is the unanimous opinion of the ulama of Islam, that if someone is threatened with life, threatened with death, and they are under extremely difficult circumstances, or if they are being tortured under the pain and duress of that torture, they utter the words of disbelief to save their lives and to prevent and avert further punishment, yet their hearts remain content with Iman, then it's permissible, according to the clear text of this verse and the example of Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala. However, if someone has reached that stage whereby they prefer death over disbelief, then for them is a great reward, and they will taste the sweetness of Iman, just as Allah records the story of the wife of Fir'aun in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. Allah says, and Allah strikes the parable for the believers of the wife of Fir'aun. Her name was Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who prayed and said, O my Lord, build me a house by you in Jannah and deliver me from Fir'aun and his punishment and save me from those who are tyrannical. Fir'aun, her own husband, when he learned that she had secretly become a believer, he forced her to renounce her faith. She refused. He tortured her with pegs. He tortured her. He personally supervised his wife's punishment. And she was told that, renounce your faith, you will be crushed to death with a boulder. She refused. And then precisely at the last few moments before her death, she was seen smiling. Fir'aun turned round to his fellow tormentors and said to them, look at her, she has gone mad. But she hadn't gone mad. The thing is, she had prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah had accepted her dua. And as she was approaching the last few moments of her life, she felt no pain despite the torture, because Allah had removed the veils between her and Jannah, and Allah had accepted her dua and shown her palace and her abode for eternity in Jannah. Seeing that, she could not but smile, and in this way she passed away from this dunya. But she preferred death over disbelief, and Allah says, Allah strikes the parable of the wife of Fir'aun for the believers. Adopt her example, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is such that people will disbelieve, but Allah will confound the disbelievers by bringing faith into their own homes. Abu Sufyan was the chief conspirator against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his greatest enemy in Mecca. Abu Sufyan led the confederates and the hordes that gathered around Medina. Abu Sufyan was the chief instigator against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet Allah Azza wa Jal confounded him by making his daughter Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, her alias was Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, not only a believer, but also the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huyay bin Akhtar, one of the leaders of the three Jewish tribes of Medina, was a bitter enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the one who conspired against Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the one who, after being expelled from Medina and went to reside in Khaybar, travelled from Khaybar in the fifth year of Hijrah with a group of his cronies and incited the mushrikeen of Quraysh to rise up in an army and along with a whole coalition of forces and march in Medina. Huyay bin Akhtar was the main